Already, the money is becoming more worthless and more worthless. The whole nation is bankrupt. Money is becoming no good. You might say, well, how do you get that, Brother Pike? I don't, you know, people that don't understand, they say, I don't see any difference in money being valuable now, no more than I did a few years ago. It still buys ice cream. It still buys cake. It still buys everything I want. I know it does. But the price that you paid for ice cream a few years ago, you pay 2, 3, 4, 5 times that much now. It's getting to where if it keeps on, you'd have to take a bushel basket of dollars to get a loaf of bread. That's what you call inflation. Money's no good. It's getting less valuable and less valuable and less value. In other words, it's losing its value altogether. They kept printing up more money than they had gold coverage for. And finally, they just got so much money, they had to get rid of the gold because they didn't have no coverage at all for it. The foreign countries had gotten the dollars that had the gold coverage, and of course, gold is good anywhere in the world. And when they demanded the gold, cashed in their American currency, that put us with a federal note. Now then our federal note is no better than our government. Whereas when you had a dollar bill covered by gold, that made you a stockholder in the government. But now you're a stockholder in exactly nothing because you don't have anything on deposit anywhere. All you got is a federal note issued to you, and if the government rises up and says it's no good, it's no good. And I can tell you it's no good before they rise up and tell you, because they will someday. But anyway, they have just talked to Israel, that is Kissinger has, and they've come up with what they believe to be a peace treaty between the Arabs and between the Jews. They believe this. Now, I know. And when I say this, I know the world out there would say, Mr. Pike, you're a big fool. But the people of God are not a fool. The world's the fool. The Bible said they're children of darkness and don't know what's going on. But we're not children of darkness, and the day should come upon us unaware. We'll know when it's nigh at hand. We'd see the signs of the time. It said as a snare it would come upon all them that dwell on the earth. Every one of them, it will be like a snare to them. The people will accept what's coming in. Now watch and see. But anyway, they think they've got a peace pact with Israel. The Bible said when they cry peace, sudden destruction shall come upon them. Kissinger is a troublemaker. He's not a peacemaker. He's a troublemaker. And though he's going under the title of a peacemaker, being Secretary of State, the world is going to drool after him and thinking that he's a great ambassador of peace. And they're going to follow after him. And they're going to hail him the Prince of Peace. Just watch and see. You remember when I said the king would come in and they hailed him King of Kings. All right? There's only one Prince of Peace. There's no peace to the wicked. It doesn't matter what kind of peace pacts they sign. The Bible said the wicked is like the troubled waters that's ever casting the mire upon the earth, that God was angry with them every day and would pursue them till they perished from off of the face of the earth. There is no peace to the wicked, saith God. So then they can sign all the peace treaties they want to, but there's no peace. The Bible said in that day, no man shall save you. That's Mr. Kissinger too. No man. He said to Israel, he said, there's no remedy for you anymore. Your sins have gone too far, America. There's no remedy. Now, when they cry peace, sudden destruction, and they're getting ready to proclaim an all-out peace, and you can judge how much confidence they've got in peace because they just started letting out contracts to make more missiles, more nuclear weapons. If they've got all that confidence in peace, and while they're doing that, See, in other words, it's a fear, and fear is of the devil, and one country is afraid the other one might attack. The Bible said God hath not given us a spirit of fear, so it's of the devil. He's got them in a vice. But anyway, they feel that they've got a 3-year peace pact. Now, I want to relate a thing or two to you tonight. That's really something, isn't it? 3 years. But I want you to notice something tonight. I made the statement that as they came with this checking system, we spoke of it a long time ago, how that they would bring the mark of the beast in with a card, and how that it would come in through the social security number. Every person that's got a social security number potentially already has the mark of the beast. Now, don't get alarmed. I know you've got social security cards, and I have too. And I know that we can't go on without them. They won't let us because they won't work us or do nothing else. But I'm saying potentially he's got the mark of the beast because that's what it's going to lead up to. Now, I made the statement that they would come to it. After that I did that, children of God, you remember how that the United States Army, the government, changed the serial numbers from the numbers that had been given to the soldiers and changed it to the Social Security number. You know how they changed the driver's license number and changed it to the Social Security number. How are you listening to me? Why did they do that? Because it is to be the number one thing that brings in a social, public, and benefit of the public to the mark of the beast. And that's what it's going to be. A society is going to be one great social mark. Now, even when a kid becomes 16 or 17 years old, they can't go to work till they get one. They'll work it right on down. It'll have to do with your tag on your car before it's over. It'll have to do with everything that you've got. Just watch and see. Now, I said that they'd bring this thing in with a card, through the card system, and don't get alarmed over that because I got a whole flock of cards and I know you have too. They've already come to the place to where they're putting it in action. Your banking can be done at night by card. As a matter of fact, Brother Beretta's got one. Here in Athens, they've already got it in other places. Go by at night, the bank, stick your card in. You can get your money out of it. Just stick the card in. Now, is it all right if I just talk with you tonight? Stick the card in. It'll tell you the balance in the bank and everything. And give you your money at night. Now, I made the statement. I said it'll come in through a computerized system, a world brain. Through a computerized system by a world brain. And that it would have to be a world brain because that's the only way that one man can rule the world. And then I said about that time they'll start building that temple back in Jerusalem. And you remember the publications on it. That the Pope of Rome and the Russian leader would come together, which they did. And that Kissinger and the Pope would come together, which they did. I said as all of it starts shaping up, the world evangelism will go into darkness and the great lights, which is the leaders among the nation that has been like Brother T.L. Osborne, Brother T.L. Lowry, Brother Oral Roberts, Brother Billy Graham, Brother Jack Cole, and all of these great men, I said they'd begin to go into darkness and their lights would begin to go out. And I said they'll be well on their way out by 1970, which they were. They died and quit. And the ones that was left begin to sell shoestrings and peddle holy water and everything else. Ministers lost interest in the Spirit and everything else. And I said, just before the coming of the Lord, there'll be a great midnight cry. The Bible said the saints shall rise and take the kingdom. There'd be a great message coming in for the saints, for the translation. And it will stir the people and they'll rally. And I said, all these great men will try to make a comeback. Are they doing it? Every last one of them is trying to make a comeback. I said, they'll try to do it. Because the Bible said at the midnight cry that the wise and the foolish virgins all rose up together. And all of them said it's time to have a revival, but only the wise that received the infilling of the Spirit of the oil of the Holy Ghost was able to go into the rapture when the Lord came. Are you listening? And the rapture is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Only those that have the oil would be able to get into it. And they would rise up and trim their lamps, and when the foolish virgins cried for revival, they would say, we have only enough oil for ourselves. Isn't that right? Just enough oil to take us over. Just for ourselves. Alright, it's happening exactly that way. People can just hold out for themselves and that's all. Not running having revivals everywhere. Alright, now I said that that would come in with a card. I want to say this. The extended purpose of the government and the world powers is one thing, and you'll see this come to pass. And that is to do away with the monetary value as far as the dollar is concerned. Now watch and see. It is to completely do away with checks, do away with cards, and do away with the American bill or currency. They'll do away with it. And bring the whole thing under a number. Now watch and see, it'll come to pass. All right, now, here's what I want to say. The checking system, we spoke of this, and then they came along and they began to set up these places in the market to where you can go in and write your checks. They've already got them in effect. Write your checks and do your banking right there at the cash register in the market. The same principles that they use at the bank, like Brother Beretta's card. And I made the statement, I said, but that isn't going to work too good. And they're going to go from that to a card. And I said, and that won't work too good like they want it to, and they'll go from that to a light system. And I spoke of the laser beam. Alright? Now there's a lot of things that I'd like to say to you tonight. But I purpose in my heart that I was going to talk with you and try to show you a few things that we've made mention of. Now I got a little paper here. And this paper, this was taken from a paper that we're not familiar with. It's called the Zoe. It's called a free paper. And it was taken July, August. That is July and August. It comes out in that time. It was taken of 75. I'm going to get Brother Taylor to read this. And I want you people to listen. Now, if you've never listened in your life, I want you to listen. Get your mind off of the baby. Get your mind off of your family, get your mind off of your problems and sicknesses and whatever you got, and listen now. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you let them slip. And I want him to read this slow, and I want you to listen, folks. If some of you folks don't listen, you're going to die and go to hell as sure as I'm behind this pulpit. I want you to listen now. As Brother Taylor comes up to read it to you, I want you to listen. Now before he reads this, I want to tell you something. Little Brother Gary Proctor tonight. I know some of you vainly puffed up by your own reason, I know that. But little Brother Gary Proctor came to me tonight and he said, what's this about the mark of the beast coming in? He said, is it coming in right away? I said, well, things are getting bad, Gary. He said, I tell you, said, I expect it's about time some of us start straightening up. That's a kid. That's a kid. That's exactly right too, Gary. Son, it's about time we start straightening up. Quit playing church. All right, now, I'm not scolding you. I want your attention. The only way I can get your attention is to get you just a little bit moved at me, and then you'll pay attention. All right, Brother Taylor, if you will, I want you to listen real close now. I want him to read it slow, and I want you to listen close. And I'm not going to try to tell you anything. I might come back after he finishes and comment a little bit. But I want you to get it for yourself. I want you to listen for yourself now and see if there's anything at all to what we've been telling you, what we've been trying to lead you into, and the way that we've been trying to help you find the understanding of God. I want you to listen real close. Brother Taylor, will you come and read it real carefully and slowly?
Suddenly, as if overnight, a uniform numbering system has attached itself to every grocery product bought and sold in America. This mark is composed of 30 vertical lines with 2 5-digital numbers. Evidence of the mark can be found on the package or can of any commodity purchased in a grocery store. Just as quickly, the banking community is moving to set up the Electronic Fund Transfer System, EFT. Principal banks in Missouri, Illinois, Kansas, Iowa, and Western Kentucky are developing a network computer service costing $35 to $40 million in order to develop the Electronic Fund Transfer System. The March 30, 1975 issue of the Post-Dispatch, Section 3A states, "The compact equipment to be used at point of sale will be countertop installations that are expected to be capable of eventually providing all the services of a financial convenience center." Bankers maintain that the electronic network idea is merely a communications device. By use of a terminal connected to a bank's computer, customers can withdraw cash, transfer funds, or perform any number of regular banking functions by merely inserting a laminated plastic card into a terminal's keyboard. Even government agencies and employers are now moving toward the use of EFT. Time Magazine, June 9, 1975 reports, "Starting on the West Coast in August and moving along to the East Coast by October, the Treasury will give Social Security recipients the option of having their checks sent directly to their banks. Then to grapple with the mountain of mail to banks, the Treasury plans next year to introduce Electronic Funds Transfer, EFT. Through the marvels of computers and electronics, money will automatically be credited to the bank. Nobody will ever see a check. Presently, the individual's transaction number will be placed on a laminated plastic card. But already news sources are revealing plans to prevent loss of this valuable number by directly inserting the number on the person himself. The April 1, 1975 morning news, 6:30 a.m. on KTRH, Houston, Texas, issued the following report. There is a huge conviction in financial circles that electronic fund transfer in one way or another will become a major means for transferring money to the near future. All buying and selling in the program will be done by computer. No currency, no change, no checks. In the program, people would receive a number that had been assigned them tattooed in their wrist or forehead. The number is put in by a laser beam and cannot be felt. The number in the body is not seen with your naked eye and is as permanent as your fingerprints. All items of consumer goods will be marked with a computer mark. The check stand will also pick up the number in the person's body and automatically total the price and deduct the amount from the person's special drawing rights account. Now competitive grocers, who before couldn't agree on the price of a single pound of sugar, have suddenly developed a uniform system of marking every commodity with a different number and line, all in cooperation with banks, employers, and government agencies. Imagine the power of that individual who has at his fingertips the number of every living human being in the world. Those who do not cooperate with his program are suddenly no longer able to enter into any economic transactions. With control of this lifeline, the Antichrist figure will control the world. As you stare at the number this morning on that box of cereal or loaf of bread, remember the days are numbered. Events are occurring before your very eyes, pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. Now is the time to repent and receive Jesus as Lord of your life. He is the real Messiah who could return any moment to take his own, to be with him forever.
In reading this, there was one or two things that I didn't even know was on there myself. One thing is I had made the statement, I said that they'll not be able, the banks will not be able to handle that many checks. And I said what they will eventually do is set up a computer thing to where rather than send the checks to the bank, they'll just send a number from the federal offices, the government offices to the bank and just tell them to accredit Mrs. So-and-so, such-and-such in her account. And it'll save the government thousands upon thousands of dollars in mail and all this kind of transaction, whirlybirds and everything, carrying it to and fro. It'll cut down until many multiplied thousands of dollars are saved. And it'll make it so quick that it's almost like the speed of light in their transitions and transactions. Here, a human being will become a living credit card. That's what I said before. And when you receive this number, the Bible said when you receive it, you have no rest day nor night, but you are tormented day and night and can never be saved when you receive this number, and that you're cast into the lake of fire. Now, you watch what I'm telling you, folks. When this thing comes about, and it's coming, they've already started it in the first power of its process in the West. The West represents the woman, and it always denotes where Satan comes in, the weaker vessel. But they're going to set this thing up, already got it going. I talked to Junior McKellum over the phone the other day, before this paper came in, and found out that in Montese's, a place where Sister Betty and a number of you have transacted, they've already got it set up there. It's a big place. And if I did not misunderstand my wife, she said that already my mother-in-law here, Mrs. Gray, has received a letter already saying that they would send her check to the bank, or that is, reroute it some way. Is that right? Was that to send it directly to the bank, Mrs. Gray? They already contacted her and told her that her check, which comes with regularity, would that if she would like, they'd send it straight to the bank. Now, that'll drive the bank out of their mind. They'll never be able to do that. So then what they'll do, you watch, they'll go to a number and just send a computer number down there to the bank for what the government is supposed to have, which they really don't have, but what they're supposed to have in the big treasure. And you say, what's all that for? It's for one thing, and that's to do away with monetary value. Now, people are going to run right into it. They're going to grab it and go right to it and think it's the grandest thing that ever happened. But I want to tell you something, folks. As long as you got a little bit of something, you got a little bit of hope. You understand what I'm saying? When you don't have any automobile and the other fellow's got it, you ride when he says ride. If you don't have any money and they get all the money in Washington, all the value in Washington, then you don't have nothing. You're a slave to tribute and you're a slave to that person. You don't have anything, not anything, but a number. And it's a slick, cunning, sly, communistic, antichrist move to get control of all the people of the world through Medicare and all of these other devices. And when they do it, that means that you're going to be a slave to antichrist. Now I want you to listen for a few minutes to me tonight. First of all, they're making government loans. You're familiar with that. About everybody has got a loan through the government. A lot of people say, well, I got mine from the bank. But that shows that you don't understand too much. Because where the bank gets their money is from the government. They borrow it from the government and pay them so much to borrow it, and then they loaned it to you. They borrowed in a big amount, pay them so much, and then they loaned it to you, and you pay them. They loan you in little, just a little bit at a time, different people. And they charge you a higher rate of interest than the government charged them. The government appropriates millions of dollars every year for that purpose. I'm not telling you something I think, I'm telling you something I know. So then the government has cunningly and slyly took control of the homes all over the world. Automobile loans are the same way. Let your land lay waste through the soil conservation program. Farms getting bigger, encouraging the people to get bigger farms that had the farms paid for to borrow money on it. Every phase of life, they've got control of it, little by little, to make all things common. It's obvious that in the reading of this right here, it stated that whereas people could not get together on their prices, that now they're going to be able to just come into an all-thing common sort of a thing to work with the banks and governments. That's communism. Another thing is, it's a lot better for one man to charge more for his products over here than another man over here. As long as you got that, you got competition and you got a good government. As long as the people got control of it. And that's the way the government was set up when it first came here. Every one of you had a control over it because it was a money power. And they set up a capitalistic thing. They used that and they issued money out on it to make you a power in the government. That's the way it was set up. They used a standard called gold. And you, having so much money, become a stockholder in the government. And you had control of it. That's called democratic government. But folks, there's no democratic government today. There's no such thing as democracy today. People that think that, they just don't understand government. But I want you to see that this thing has slipped in so close that hundreds and thousands of people are going to go into this. And I predict, to begin with, I predict that they won't enforce it and they won't put any law on it and they won't make anybody do it to begin with. I predict that they won't do that. They'll offer it as a great opportunity to you, just like they did Ms. Gray. Would you like for us to send your check to the bank? Now, it's going to be a great opportunity, and it's going to be so rosy and pretty that hundreds of thousands of people, not knowing it's the mark of the beast, is going to go right in, take the laser beam, take the mark, and feel like nothing has happened. Won't be a bit of change. They won't feel a bit different. They'll just go in and take the mark. Now you say, Brother Pike, God would not be a just God to let hundreds and millions of innocent people come in and take the mark. Now, I did not say that hundreds and millions of innocent people would take the mark. That wasn't what I meant. Those people are not innocent. They're mean, contrary, and they're devils walking around in human flesh. They're people that's been preached to for years that won't listen to God and won't listen to the Word, that works everything out in their natural brain work up here and won't listen to nobody. They're not innocent, not innocent at all. They're murderers and liars and cheats and fornicators and robbers and deceivers and all kinds of people. But I mean, as a snare, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the earth, and they'll be caught in the snare, just like the lion. He's a vicious feller. But he innocently gets caught in the snare. He didn't know it was there. And he isn't aware of it until you've already got him. Now, I'm telling you what's going to happen to him. Thousands of them will go in there and take it. But God, the Bible said, the wicked are not see when good comes. But God's people are not children of darkness, but of light. Just like I'm reading this to you, this is light to you. It's understanding. It's making you to know that it's near at hand. He said, you know it's near at hand. It'll wake you up and stir you up and make you know something's about to happen so that you can get on guard and get ready. Now, I don't know how this affects you, but even my own little Danny, it was kind of comical what he said, but even my own little Danny, it tore him up so much. He said, Mama, he said, before I take the mark of the beast, I'll get my BB gun and kill myself. That's how I shook him up. Little Gary is shook up over it. Now, somebody said, you ought not tell things like that because you get everybody nervous. I'll tell you what, if it's a bridge down the road was out and I was fixing to fall into the middle of the river, I'd want somebody to make me nervous enough to stop, turn around, or do something. It's only good common sense to warn the people. Jesus said, if you see the enemy coming and you don't want them, I'll require their blood at your hand. But if you want them, then the blood is off your hands. I'm a watchman on the wall required to see. He said, watchman, what of the night? I set watchmen upon your wall that I never hold their peace. I'm looking and I'm watching and I'm standing on my watch. The prophet said, I'll stand on my watch and I'll see what he says to me and what I'll answer to him when I'm reproved of him. And I'm watching on the wall. And the Bible said all of them was asleep at midnight. And in the Old Testament, you'll find that all of them was asleep, that they had only the watchmen on the wall that were awake to alert the people at the midnight cry if the enemy come near the big walls. And I'm warning you tonight, it's high time to rise up, shake yourself, trim your lamps, and go out to meet the bridegroom because he's at the door, he's coming. It's time to check up. As little Gary said, it's time to straighten up and check up. And I know some of you ain't going to do it. Some of you say, well, I know I'm going to do it. There ain't no way you can do it. Some of you are not predestinated. You never do it. You get shook up. You get scared. You go right back out there. It won't be long. You'd be forgot all about what Brother Pike says. You'd be sitting under a television movie, compromising with a social party because you don't want to hurt anybody's feeling, talking to them about the things of the world out there and about everything that you ought not to talk about. Whereas Paul said, if anything be godly, have any virtue in them, think on these. Let your conversation be in heaven. Let it be holy. You'll be right out there in the world with them again. You'll be contrary. That spirit in you will rise up. That temple will rise up. That haughtiness will rise up. That gossiping will rise up. That thing that you've never got rid of all these years when the preacher's preaching to you, it'll rise up and you'll find yourself back in the same hog pen that you was before the warning. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and couldn't find any place of it. He cried and begged and pleaded, but it was too late. Jacob had already got the birthright. Now, I believe that any of you can see that something is taking place here. Now, I want to read just a little bit of scripture, if I can, and comment just a little bit to you tonight, and I'll do my best not to hold you long, because I know you're weary and tired. But I just want to drop in a thought or two and just see how these things tally with the scriptures tonight. Have you got a few minutes to listen? All right, now, you know that we've read about this, we've preached about this, we've talked about this, and we've told people that this was coming, but you got to admit it's kind of shocking when it gets here, isn't it? Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that's the mark of the beast. They said years ago when they come out with this and they come out with that, that was the mark of the beast. This is just another thing, you know. Somebody's getting all excited and say this is the mark of the beast, but it's just a good commercial program, and we'll find out it's not the mark of the beast, just another benefit God give us. If you find that out through that thing, then I'm a liar and ain't a word of truth in me. Don't you ever believe anything else I ever say, because I'm a false prophet and a liar if that isn't the mark of the beast coming in. That is the mark of the beast. And it isn't going to be a good government, and it isn't going to be just another thing that somebody said something about, and it isn't going to just pass by. It's going to doom your soul to hell if you take that mark. Now you watch and see what I'm telling you. You won't know about it until after you've taken it. But after you take it, you'd have given 10 million worlds if you could have. If you'd have never let them stuck that laser beam on you. All right. I want to read just a little bit. In the 12th verse of Proverbs, 12th chapter of Proverbs, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh the shame is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is held. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked subduceth him. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. That's reading the whole 12th chapter of Proverbs. And I'd like to comment just a little bit. I read this because Solomon used the terms wisdom is the chief thing. Said, get wisdom because wisdom is the chief thing. Said, call it thy kinsman. Call it thy kinsman. It's like a brother or sister. Hold it close to you, Solomon said. Wisdom is a tree of life. And the man that findeth wisdom findeth life. And I read to you here what he had to say about the path of death and the way of life. The things that I relate to you from the pulpit here, brothers and sisters, it is the wisdom of God. It is what God gives before things take place. For years, I've watched the government and I've watched the different things that have taken place, and I have found that just exactly the way that God said it would happen, it has happened. Now here we are at the very threshold of eternity, right here at the very end of it, right at the very end of it, and some of us are still not prepared to meet God. I know that we're prepared up here, but brothers and sisters, believing that you're going to heaven up here in your head, that isn't going to do it. There's got to be a spiritual translation. There's got to be something that takes place in your heart. You've got to be born again and get the heart right with God and get the world out of your heart and get faith in your heart and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And then be filled with the Spirit of God, and you have a chance to be translated and go in the rapture. If you haven't come that trail, you won't make it. You're bound to go through the tribulation period. There's no other hope for you. You're going through the crisis, and you're going through the mark of the beast. Now I want to try to answer just a question or two that's been in the minds of some of you tonight, if I possibly can. There are some things that I'd really like to say tonight, and really like to get into a message that I know that would help a lot of you tonight, but I've took so much time reading this and trying to get this over to you until I don't have time to really get into what I'd like to tonight. But I've been asked the question a lot of times, Brother Pike, are we going to be here through the tribulation period? Are we going to be here during the time of the Antichrist, of the regime of the Antichrist? I know that Brother David Terrell teaches that we are. And I know there's a lot of other preachers that teach that the church will go through the regime of Antichrist and through the terrors of Antichrist and the tribulation. But I want you to know something, They that are born to the Spirit of God, that's been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, will not go through the tribulation period. They'll be translated and taken out of this world, and then Antichrist will set up his kingdom, and after 3 years, or 3.5 years, or after the regime of Antichrist, we'll come back on white horses in Revelation 19 and actually take a literal sword and kill people. I mean literally kill people, not spiritually kill people, but dip the sword in the blood of human beings, of those that have taken the mark of the beast, and of the Antichrist. We'll actually literally kill them with a sword until their blood runs down the streets. Now, you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that God would do a thing like that to the fellow man. But the Bible said those that came out of Egypt, when they broke the covenant of Moses, and Moses come down off of the mountain, and those people had numbered themselves with the evil that was going on, which was typical of the Antichrist in the absence of Moses. Moses said to them, every man that's with me, step over here. And every person that was with Moses stepped over and numbered themselves with Moses. And he said, take your swords and fall upon them. And the Bible said they literally slayed until thousands of people lay dead. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is a spirit, and God has never changed his nature. He's never changed his thinking. He's never changed his outlook. He's angry with the wicked every day of the week. And he'll pursue the wicked until they perish from off the face of the earth and until he drives them out of his presence into eternity. That's what God will do. Grace is a period of time that is given for you to prepare yourself to meet God. That's all it is. It is a period of time. God hasn't changed one bit. God did not give grace, as some preachers preach it, so that you can just go to God, get saved, as they say, just believe that everything is going to be all right, and it'll be all right. That's what they preach. They say, don't do nothing but believe, because there's nothing you can do, and everything will be all right. They're a lie. That's a lie. God didn't send them preachers to preach no such. That's a lie. There is more for you to do than just say, I believe. The Bible said if a man comes to your dwelling and he's hungry and he needs clothes, and you say to him, go thy way and be filled, go thy way and be clothed, and the apostle said, notwithstanding, you don't give him them things that's needful for the body. Said, then what have you profited the man? What good have you done him? You've not done him any good. You should have given him something. He said, even so, faith without works is dead. Being alone, faith can do nothing. Now, I believe, a lot of folks say, well, you're saved. Brother Pike said, it's your faith that saves you. The Bible said we are saved by grace through faith. It is not my faith, nor your faith, nor anybody else's faith that saves us. It is the faith, the Bible said, by Jesus Christ. The Bible said, contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints of God, which faith, by which ye are sanctified, even the faith of Christ. Is that right? And we are taught in the Scriptures that it is not our faith, but it is His faith. And we are taught that it is by the grace of God, because Jesus believed in the righteousness of God, it is by the grace of God through the shed blood of the atonement of Christ that we are saved. It's not of works, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God. It is the grace that saves us. It is not faith that saves us. It is the grace of God that saves us. And the word grace means mercy. It is the mercy of God that saves us. We can't do anything. Never could we do anything. Never shall we be able to do anything. It is God's mercy that saves us by the washing of regeneration through the crucifixion of the Son of God. That's the way we're saved. We only use our faith to take hold of it. That's all we use faith for, is a simple believing from our heart in what God done through His mercy in killing the Lamb at Calvary. It's by His grace, and we only are made heirs to it through believing in what Jesus did for us. Now I want you to get this. No man ever believed to the righteousness of God. Jesus was the only one that ever had faith to live the life that pleased God, to where God would save humanity. He lived the perfect life and became the perfect Lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. His faith never wavered, and it's called the faith by which we are sanctified. But we are made heirs to that righteousness of the shed blood, the mercy of God, through our faith by believing in the atonement, a simple thing of believing. That's not in your head. For the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I can tell you all day long, all you got to do is come up here and make a confession and believe, and that's it. That's not true. Jesus said you've got to be born again. You can make all the confessions you want to. You can do like Esau. The Bible said he saw repentance with bitter tears and found no place to repentance. He prayed and cried and did everything, but it was too late. Jacob had already got the birthright. So then crying isn't going to do it. Pleading isn't going to do it. You've got to be born again. Jesus said, Nicodemus, lest you be born of the water and of the Spirit, ye shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Is that right? Or enter into the kingdom of God. He said, you're going to repent of your sins, you're going to receive the Spirit of God, and you're going to be baptized in Jesus' name, or you're not going in. Is that right? You're not going in the kingdom. There is a natural birth, and that natural birth is a water birth. And that child comes out by means of the blood, the water, and he comes out with a life which is the Spirit. And it takes the blood at Calvary, it takes water baptism in Jesus' name, and it takes the Spirit of God to make you a living birth and not a still birth, which is called a dead child. Now, I want you to see something here, if you can, if you'll give me just a few minutes. We've come to a place to where people are just preaching and telling folks anything. And multitudes and multitudes are going after it. Multitudes are going after it because it looks good. It looks good. A way that seemeth right unto man, and the ways thereof are the ways of death. It is a religious formality that doesn't have any salvation. Somebody said, but I feel the Spirit of God. That doesn't do it. Somebody said, but I speak in tongues. That doesn't do it. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. The rain is on the briar and the rain is on the wheat. And the briar needs the rain to live just as much as the wheat does. But the harvest that each one of them produces is not the same. The wheat, being typical of a Christian, will yield the fruits of the Spirit, something that's good to eat. It'll yield like a tree of life. But the briar will always be a thorn in your flesh, so to speak. It'll be, as the world says, cantankerous. It'll always be contrary, always gossiping, always bickering, backbiting, finding fault, creating division, being contrary to the Word of God all the time. See, but it lives on the same water. It's got a different nature. It brings up a different harvest. Now I want you to see this. Some of you understand what I'm saying, some of you don't. All right, now, look at it. We're close to the mark of the beast. We need to know where we're going. We need to know what we're doing. Faith under salvation, being born again, being a real Christian, it depends on getting the Spirit of God. It don't make no difference how much you believe. The Bible said if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. You can believe all you want to. And said, if any man deny that the Spirit of God lives today in the human being, he is an antichrist. He is a member of the Antichrist body, if he denies that the Holy Ghost lives inside of a human being, that God is a spirit and he lives inside of you, that Christ in you is the hope of glory, that he walks in you and talks in you, that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that man is an Antichrist. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can translate you. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can bring a man up out of the grave. If that man lays down in the grave without the Spirit of God, he cannot come up out of that grave unless God called him out of the grave. Now somebody said, well, if he lays down in the grave, he can't come up anywhere unless God calls him. That's wrong. Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take my life up. When Christ gives that last call, I've got power to bring myself up out of the grave. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. The Bible said Elisha took sick and died and laid in the grave, and they throwed a man in on him, and he had so much spirit in his bones till it resurrected the man that went in there. Now, I want you to see this. It is by your faith that you are made partakers. But God did not give the age of grace that we're living in so that you could go on doing the things of the flesh and be saved. You can't do that. That's wrong. That's not what grace is for. Like a fellow said, God's going to save me in spite of myself. God does not have any such grace. God does not give any such grace. Grace is not given for that purpose. God hasn't changed the law. God gave the law, and God satisfied with the law. And he said not one jot or tittle will pass away till every bit of it be fulfilled. He only gave grace following the law of Moses for one purpose. And that was to help the innocent and to help the weak and those that had not been able to perform as others could perform. To help them in the time of their falling. And nobody could really make it without grace. It takes grace for the shortcomings. That means that I've got to do everything I possibly can to live a perfect life. And then grace comes to my heart. If I don't do everything I can to be perfect in the sight of God, then grace doesn't even apply to me. Grace was not given to change the law. Grace was not given to alter the law. Grace was given to establish the law. It was for the purpose that the laws of life, which came from God through Moses, might be established in the earth, because that is the only way you can have life. You understand what I'm saying? Now, somebody said, well, the Bible said, Paul spoke and said that salvation or life did not come by the law. I know it didn't come by the law. It came by grace. Paul said, I was alive without the law until the law came, and then the law killed me in that it brought me under condemnation. It showed up my impurities. The closer you get to God, like the prophet of old, when he got in the presence of God, he said, I feel impure. I feel unclean. I feel like I'm a man of unclean lips, he said. You try praying. You try getting in the Spirit. You try getting close to God, and even your thoughts will become a burden, because you begin to think, Lord, here I'm in the presence of God, Almighty God, and I'm afraid to think. I'm afraid to do anything. I feel so impure. So then, because the law was God unveiling himself, shaking the mountain, we couldn't get close to him. So then Moses, being typical of God, saying God made him God unto Aaron. That's what God said to him. Put a veil on him and said, I'll raise up a Jesus, a prophet like unto Moses. And this prophet shall come to pass, that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And Moses put a veil over his face and then came down. And they said, you talk to God, Moses, and then we'll talk to you. And then his face was so illuminated that he couldn't hardly stand it. They couldn't when he come down. Being a type of the fleshly body in which Jehovah, the great eternal spirit, tabernacled, building himself a human tabernacle, walking in it, a veil of human flesh, that we might see God through Jesus. Is that right? Jesus was the embodiment of God. That's the only God there is Jesus Christ. God is a spirit. He dwells in the body of His Son, Jesus Christ. He rules the world through the blood, through the body of Jesus Christ. He's a personification through Jesus Christ. And today He's in the heart of mankind by measure through the Holy Spirit. Is that right? As the Holy Ghost. All right, now, I want you to see this for just a few minutes now. God didn't give grace to break the law. That wasn't the purpose of it. It was to establish the law. In that Paul said, not that the law is sinful, but sin gets its strength by the law. Not that the law is sinful, said it's good, just, and holy. But he said, in that I am weak and contemptible in my human ability, in my human body, in so much that I can't perform the law, the desires of God, because of my weakness. I'm made subject to vanity. And said, I can't perform it. So then God, no laws of any value, unless there's an element of grace in it, to take care of the innocent. And so then God sent grace. He sent Calvary. That was the missing link in the chain. That's what makes the chain stay together when I fail. After I try to do all I can. I try to do my very best, and then I fail. Not willingly, not carelessly, not just because I won't listen, I won't try, but I try to do my best. And then I fail and I stumble. Then comes the missing link of the chain. And Jesus' grace makes up for it, and He keeps the chain from breaking. He binds it together. So then, what is grace for? It is an allotted period of time to where we can shape ourselves into the likeness of the Son of God. It is an allotted period of time in the midst of an evil people to keep God from destroying humanity from off of the face of the earth, to give His people time to mature and to separate themselves from the wicked. And just as quick as they mature, God is going to pick them up, take them up above the world, and then literally slay the people and destroy them with the nuclear powers and with the evils of life. Is that right? That's the Bible. The Bible said God determined evil upon Israel many times and repented. Anytime evil comes, the Bible said, can evil come to a city? Now, I'm not sent it, saith the Lord. It's God that sends it, whether it's war, whether it's tornadoes, whether it's storms, or whatnot. Somebody said, you mean, now, Brother Pike, you just said the devil caused all that a few minutes ago. I didn't say that. Here's what I told you. Job went before, or Satan went before God, because Job was to be tempted by Satan. Nothing was wrong with Job, but Satan went into the presence of God asking permission to do something to Job. When the tornadoes come that knocked his building down, it wasn't God, it was the devil. How do you know that's true? The Bible said there come a strong wind, tornado, tore down his barns, killed his children. The tornado did. But it wasn't God, that was Satan. Is that right? Satan did it. Satan killed his cattle. Satan killed everything, destroyed it. Tried to kill Job, brought a sickness on him. Isn't that right? But who gave the permission for him to do it? God did. Satan couldn't do anything until God gave him permission. But the evil wasn't God's doing. It was Satan's doing. But God allowed the evil to test Job and to try Job and to perfect faith in Job's heart. That's what the trials are for. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of them all. Isn't that right? Somebody said a tornado come up. Said, now, I ain't got nothing to say about it. I'm not going to say anything against God's work. Well, you know better than that. That ain't God's work. What are you talking about, God's work? That's the devil doing that. That's the devil trying to tear up something. If God growed a tree and then tore it down, His kingdom be divided. He Himself testified it couldn't stand. He said a divided kingdom can't stand. If God creates a man and puts him in the earth with health and then reaches down there and puts afflictions on him, His kingdom's divided. His kingdom can't stand. He makes a man and then kills him. That's right. God puts a man down there and He kills him. He gives a mother a darling little baby in an arm, then jerks it out of her arm and kills it. Gives the mother a little baby and twists it up and puts it in braces. Well, you know God don't do things like that. Where do you get that? God don't do that. That's the devil doing those things. Sin and evil causes those things. There'll never be anything like that in the millennium.
When Christ comes and sets up the kingdom here, and the devil is bound for 1,000 years, there won't be anything like that, children of God. Why don't we understand God? Why don't we understand what God's doing? Well, as long as you don't see, look, like a woman that died over yonder, a good woman, she felt like if God wanted her like that, she'd just be contented in that kind of condition. God didn't have the woman like that. God doesn't do that. God doesn't cripple. God doesn't tear down. God doesn't kill. God heals. God said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. And the word abundantly means filled up and overflowing. I am the God that healeth all of thy diseases. Is that right? God wants to heal you. God wants to save you. God doesn't want you in poverty. God doesn't want you just making out, just barely getting by. God isn't the one that killed you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the Bible said God kills and God makes alive. Sure. God kills the wicked by letting evil come upon them. The Bible said their own evil shall slay them. I'll feed them the fruits of their thoughts. Isn't that right? They devise evil against the righteous. God turns the devil loose on them. He kills them. But listen, friend. God doesn't want you to die. It is not God's will tonight. I want you to get this. It is not God's will for any human being to be placed in a casket. It has never been God's will from the foundation of the world. Somebody said, well, what about Jesus? Didn't the Bible said we esteem him smitten of God? It wasn't God's will for him to be like that. It was because of the sin of mankind. Somebody said, well, God brought it. God didn't bring it. The Bible said death came by man, not God. That's the Bible. Death came by man. Death is the enemy of God. God hates death. Man started. God didn't do it. And God is giving us the power to overcome death, for death is the enemy of God and the last one to be conquered. And that's what the revelation is going to do, is conquer it. You say, how's that going to do it? It's going to let you know that God's not a friend to it. It'll open your understanding and reveal to you that God doesn't want you to die, that it isn't God in action. It's the devil. It's not God's plan. And then faith will take hold in your heart. And faith will overcome death, and death will be swallowed up in victory. What victory? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Where does it come from? The Word, the revelation. Enoch was translated by faith. By grace through faith you're saved. Not of works, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. All right, now listen to that in just a few minutes. Why are you talking like this, Brother Pike, when you talked about the mark of the beast? I'm talking like this for this purpose. Folks, if the mark of the beast is as close as that is, then how close is the translation of the saints? If we're not going to be here during the tribulation period and during the mark of the beast, if this very month the mark of the beast is beginning to set in, then how close is the translation? It's no wonder that William Branham, that predicted the great things that's happened to the world over and over, predicted by 77 that this thing would be blown to bits. Now, I made the statement, according to his prediction, he's wrong about the millennium coming in. I said, what it looks to me like, the way it's shaping up, it's the tribulation period. Everything is shaping up for it. Now, you say, but Brother Pike, how can the mark of the beast be here now when you said we'd be caught out? I told you here a good while back that the church, God had sealed the church in, that he was catching them out and getting the last one into the revelation. And when the last one come in, that would be it. The change would take place. A lot of people don't believe this is a translation message. Well, tell me where another one's coming from. Where are we going to get another one? How long have we got? It's coming right on time. There's three things that took place when Pentecost fell back yonder. We was talking about today. When Pentecost fell, what did he do? They had a shout. The Bible said he come with a shout. Isn't that right? He started off with a shout, then a voice, and then a trumpet. And when Pentecost comes, it started in a shout. It was God coming. It was a restoration of the church. They shouted, spoke in tongues, had a good time. But it wasn't long until a voice spoke from heaven to a man by the name of William Branham and said, is John the Baptist, who was the voice, came into the world to forerun it. Said, you too. The shout, right, the shout coming. Here come God speaking to him, saying, John the Baptist. I said, who are you, John? He said, I'm a voice. A shout and a voice. and then added to the voice. It was the trump of God, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That was to resurrect the dead. Hallelujah. In other words, everything running right in succession. One step, two steps, three steps. Everything. You say, but Brother Pike, how can the revelation be the trump that resurrected the dead? Because the Bible said the dead in Christ rise first. When the trump sounds, we who are alive and remain are changed. Everything is falling right in line. I say this, that if we are that close, we are that close. Let me speak to you just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. But children of God, if we are that close to the mark of the beast, then that means that the change, Thessalonians change, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, is laying right on us. It would have to be. It has to. Now you say, but Brother Pike, you say that we're not going to be here in the mark of the beast, yet you say it's coming in. I made the statement, I said we would be here doing the flattery. Didn't I tell you that? He said he'd come in with flattery. Ain't that what Kissinger's doing? He's flattering the nations. He's a liar. He's a troublemaker. He doesn't cause trouble with Israel. Caused so much trouble with Israel until they rose up in the streets and told him to go back to America. Rose up and the police had to stop him. He's fighting. It'll kill him. They intended to kill him from what I can find out. He's a troublemaker. He's causing trouble. He's working under disguise with the papacy of Rome and with communism to set up a world power. And I made a statement. I said he'll set it up in Atlanta, Georgia. That'll be where it'll all stem from. Just before the great explosion, just before the calamities. And he come right to Atlanta, Georgia after we set it and had his conference. And then they come right up with this thing about this great tower, 800 feet. To where you can see Macon, Georgia from there. A vision so strong that you can see Jerusalem in that make it the type of it. Alright? Let's look at it just for a minute now and see if that's true. I made the statement, I said we will be here through the flattery part of it. Isn't that right? Look at it now spiritually just for a few minutes. Here comes the mark of the beast coming in. It's coming in. I made the statement. I said when they put that number on the food, I said, that's it right there. Isn't that right? That one great brain that they've got over in the foreign country about, I don't know, like it's two or three stories or whatever it is. I brought it down on tape here where it was and what it was. They call it the beast, the great intellectual brain. Everything goes back to it to give a great leader a chance to control the world. Through the numbers on the post hostess, the cereal of all kind, chewing gum, milk, everything, that one great intellectual brain through a computerized system, one man can decide how many people there are in the world to be fed, how many boxes of post hostess it'll take, how many cans of milk it'll take, and if there's a famine anywhere, he automatically knows every box of cereal in the world, every loaf of bread in the world, and he's got control of every bit of it, and it's his kingdom. And all he has to do is just shift it from one side of the ocean to the other and just keep everything going smooth. It'd be like a paradigm. I made the statement that's the only government that will ever rule right. That's the only government that can ever satisfy the people. As long as it's divided up, it'll never run right. God made it to be one great world government, but not with Antichrist at the head of it. Jesus Christ is supposed to be the head of it. It'll never work right with a dictator at the head of it. Jesus is the only one that knows how to handle him. He is partakers of our infirmities. He died. He rose again. He suffered. He was sick. He went through everything to where it could be a great king, a great leader, and feel the infirmities of us and rule us and love us and lead us and have compassion on us. And provide for us in our weaknesses through his grace. That's why he came down here. So God never knew nothing about sickness until he climbed into a human body. And then the Bible said he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He never knew nothing about sorrow except he felt it through the body of Jesus Christ. Today he understands. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now, look at this. With Kissinger going over to the Holy Land, making peace between the Arabs and between the Jews, what does it mean? It's those twins. Going back to the garden, it's those twins I said the nearest thing to a son of God is a man. Are you listening now? God said to the sons of God, come and let us make a man. And let us make him in our image. Is that right? And the nearest thing to a son of God is a man. But that man is not a son of God. He's a beast. And people in the world today that do not have the Spirit of God, that are not the predestinated, they are not the sons of God. They are a human beast. The Bible says these are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. How many understand what I'm saying? The twins, they look just alike. A man, he looks just exactly like the beast or the son of God. The man is a beast, looks just like the son of God. What's the difference? That man that is a beast, he's smart. He's intellectual. He's been to the tree of knowledge, education, all kind of college, everything that's in the world, even religious as he can be. Cain was just as religious as Abel was. Churchy. But he never had the Spirit of God. He'd never been born again. You understand what I'm saying? The beast, the man, the one that runs the bank and the one that runs the government and the presidents and all of them. Brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Their whole educational system is antichrist. God's going to tear the whole thing down, tear the schools down, tear the colleges down, tear the government down, tear everything down, and raise up the sons of God and establish the government. And the Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Said the earth is waiting and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Jesus said, ye are gods. Isn't that right? Brother, you're not just a beast. You're not just a man. He said, ye are gods. You die like a man because of unbelief. But you don't have to die. Death has been conquered at Calvary. You're gods. Gods wasn't made to die. Gods was made to live. That's why they're gods. He said, I'd make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. All right, just a few more words. Look at the twins. Here is the twins. The Arabs and the Jew. What does it represent? The unredeemed body, which is the Arabs. How do you know that's the son of Abraham? Ishmael, is that right? The son of Abraham coming through Hagar, is that right? The bondswoman, is that right? You're typical. Somebody said, but that's the Jews. I know Paul said this answers the Mount Sinai, which is a Jew, which now is and is in bondage to your children. I know that, and I know that we're the spiritual Jew. Now you're talking about the reality of the thing, but I'm talking about types now, types in the earth. I know that all sinners are beasts. I know that all that's not predestinated are beasts, but I'm looking at the types now, the Arabs over here, the son of Abraham, and here is Israel, Isaac, the Israelite, the son of Abraham, fussing over their inheritance, both of them having Abraham for a daddy, but having different mothers. Are you listening? I said they got the same father but different mothers. You say, what are you talking about? I mean that same God that made the wheat made the bride. Is that right? Got the same father but got a different mother. It's the same thing. Everything is the same. As far as God, God created all things. God created the good. God creates the evil. Is that right? Works all things as the counsel of his own will, has his way in both, holds the king's heart in his hand, turns it whithersoever he will like the rivers of waters, the preparation of man's hearts from God. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? Alright. What is Kissinger doing? Said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Kissinger. That's what he said to Judas. A kiss means a lot. I wish we had time to go into it tonight, what it means, and you'd see. That's why you have to kiss the Pope's ring when you go over there to visit with him. The kiss of death. Betrayest thou the Son of a Man with a kiss? That's what he's doing to him. Coming in with flattery. It means that in the peace pact between them, that it is a typical thing that at last the body has been redeemed. It means the redemption of the body, peace between them. But the only thing is, that is not that which belongs to Israel. That's not it at all. That's a typical thing. Israel is a type of the spirit, they're a type of the body. But in reality, Israel is the body and we're the spirit. We're the ones that belong to Israel, not the Arabs. Have you understand what I'm saying? You say, what does the Arabs belong to? They belong to these people out here in the world. Civilization, I'm going to say this again, civilization comes from Egypt. Check your textbook, goes back to your educational system. It comes from the garden, the mark of the beast, comes from the understanding of the tree of knowledge, comes right on down to Egypt, and they pick it up in Egypt, and you'll find in your textbooks that what they did, they left the teachings of Abraham and went to Egypt. Now, this is the truth. Check your textbooks and see. I'm talking about your school books. Your school books will tell you about Abraham as the patriarch coming down into Egypt. It'll tell you about it. But there they left Abraham and they set up their own government. And they started from Egypt and began to theorize from the hieroglyphics, the Rosetta Stones, and a number of other things. Began to theorize and pick things up and started what they called history. And the word history is H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, his story. Started his story instead of God's story, instead of the Bible. They started his story and put his story to his story and history to history until they come up with what they got today. That's exactly what the educational system is. Taking theory instead of facts, trying to theorize, saying, though thou climbest up to heaven, I shall cast thee down to hell. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, which is the moon, from thence I shall cast thee down. That's exactly what he tried to do with the tree of knowledge. Figure out through the intellectual numerical order of science, through mathematics and a mathematical genius like Einstein, how to unlock the mysteries of God, and found out that God had only ordained for him to go that far to the finite and then stop him. That is to get up to the moon and then cast him down to hell. Isn't that right? But right there is where we begin. When you get to the finite and they don't run out of education, we just get started. We go right into the on into the infinite, into the spirit, into another world. Is that right? Into the greatness of God. All right? Now, listen real careful. Now I am going to close. I'm not just telling you. I'm going to try to close pretty quick now. Look at the Arabs and look at the Jew. What is it? It's the twins. Civilization come from Egypt. Where does it have to go back to? The Bible said, cursed is the man. Listen now. Cursed is the man that goeth down into Egypt for his strength. Is that right? Or for his help. Is that right? Why did he say that? Because he cursed Egypt. Because they wouldn't let the children of Israel go. He said, the ones that looked back into Egypt, even had come out in the wilderness, he killed them, wouldn't even let them go into Canaan. He said, cursed is the man that goeth down there for his help. Isn't America turning back to Egypt to get the help? They come from that seed of perversion out of Egypt, an educated thing that's a tree of knowledge, set up an antichrist rule throughout the world, and if by force made people put their children in the dirty, filthy, sloppy schools, and in the colleges and turned them into prostitutes and beat Nixon and everything else. We had the old farmer out in the field plowing the cotton. I know because I come up as a boy in it. Out there the black man and me work together. Out there in the field chopping cotton, digging potatoes, plowing the field. And my granddaddy with a hickory in his hand. They didn't need any law. My granddaddy had his shotgun and his rifle hanging over the door up there. That was the only law he needed. They know to stay away from that. They didn't have to put no money in the bank. They didn't have nobody to bother with them. They didn't have to have no automobile. They had the horse and the buggy. They didn't need no gas. They didn't worry about electric lights. Either burn a candle. If they got a hold of some oil, that was good. Chop them down some wood. Raise them up. Ear of corn, get them some cotton. Been with my grandmother many times way back over across the hill in the sage field over there. Nothing but sage as far as you could see way back in the country. Ring off the sage and tie a little string around it. Go back home out with our sweeping broom. That's what she swept the house with. Sometimes she scrubbed it down with sand. A lot of times climb up in old cotton bin where they throw the cotton over the bin. Go to sleep on it. That was the right kind of world. But what happened to it? Everybody got jammed together. Got to have a war. big men, long-tongued, slick fellas like Kissinger and others, got to dabbling around with other people. And then when President Roosevelt come in to the thing, he throw the door wide open and mixed every nation under the heaven together and invited them into America, and we ain't had nothing but a mess and confusion ever since. He let every kind of paganistic religion there was in the world come in here. And it's just been one problem right after another. Just hold the baby for a few minutes. I know they're weary. I'm going to let them go. I just want to clear my thoughts here a few minutes. Now listen, folks. That's why that I'm withdrawing like I am out here to where we can have our own little system out here, to where we can eat, plant an ear of corn, raise a horse, a cow, whatever we need out here in case something happens, set up our own electricity. My bills come today. I think Betty got about four bills, one 200 and something, 100, one 100 and something, one 16, and another I think was about 100 or 60 or something for light bill. It's a forced issue. It's the law. The law is as corrupt as they can be. The law ain't nothing but a little group of people that's up here in the metropolitan areas of the cities to be a bunch of bill collectors every time somebody gets behind. And all they're doing is parading up and down the streets up there to watch after them people's business so that them people can rob us out here and we pay the policemen their wages. You can say amen or oh me. I know that's the truth, and I've talked with them, been in their little clique, and I know what they're doing. Jesus said to robber and the thieves, they take the man, beat him up, throw him over in the ditch, take everything he's got through hospital bills and everything else, charge him 10 times what they ought to charge him in a hospital. Somebody said, well, what would we do without a hospital? It's the same thing they done when they're out in the wilderness. Depend on God a little more. Back home when we got sick, we had my grandmother. She's better than any doctor I ever seen. That's right. She could get a herb or a pill or whatever she got. She done it her way. Pack you in a bed and sweat you half to death, but she'd get it out of you, whatever it was. That's the truth. I've been through it. They know what to do. Now you say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I mean, you can't even take one of your loved ones and bury them without being in debt for I don't know how long. Sister Marianne died here. Took $3,000 to give her a decent burial. I used to work at the funeral home, and $700 was considered a lot of money to bury a person. I asked a man one time, I said, hey, how much do we charge the folks to bury them? He said, everything you can get out of them. Oh, not the undertaker, yeah. Stand and curl your wife's hair and her dead in the casket while he jokes about going juking with a woman. I know, because I done seen him do it. Laugh about it. And say, hey, how much you going to charge him? Said, as much as you can get out of him. Said, if somebody's got some money, said, pop it to him. Get every dollar. Said, this funeral over here costs $700. I said, well, what come it don't cost $700 to them? Said, because they got more money. That's the world for you. Some of our items out here in the store, some of you grumbling about us not getting a good deal. Why, you're just letting the devil drive you around. You're just letting an old evil spirit try to tear down what God getting. I asked Raph to make me a list. And did you know on some of those commodities out there, 25, 35, and 40 cents cut on one item. Brother, that's saving money. And if we go on with the rest of it, it's going to save some more. But anyway, I just want to say this and try to close out. The whole Antichrist system is from Egypt. It's gone back to the seed. It's gone to seed. Everything's going to seed. It's done, went through it, produces fruit, with it up, going back to seed. It come from Egypt, it's going back to Egypt. That's why God let the oil pop up over there to make them all money hungry. We come from our father Abraham, and we're going back to the same thing. I made the statement, I said, as long as America being a type, she went along with Israel, God will bless her, because whoever blesses Israel, he'll bless. Whoever curses Israel, he'll curse them. When Kissinger stood up and made a sly remark and abused Israel through his conversation and statements, God put his finger on America and she is gone. As long as they befriended Israel, he held her up. But said, you touch Israel, you touch the apple of my eye. You bless Israel, I'll bless you. You curse Israel, he said, I'll curse you. And Kissinger stood up there and cursed Israel. And God's cursed America. since he's done it, America's gone down the drain. Her oil and everything else has left her. Famine and everything. And I made a statement. I said, brethren, you watch what I'm telling you. I said, it'll go down, down, down to look like there's no remedy for it. I said, and then all of a sudden it'll come back up. And I said, when I have this meeting over here in Athens, Georgia, the famine will start being relieved and it'll come back up. And did it do it exactly after the meeting, right down to the T? Just from the time that even at the meeting, some of the brethren come and said that work had already begun to open up for them. It came right back up. And I said, it'll continue on that way. Antichrist will make craft to prosper through this thing. It'll cut down money. It'll cut down everything through the number system, a numerical system. Now listen at it. You say, I don't believe it's like that. Well, just listen a few minutes. I'm going to sign off. Just listen. Is it a true fact that you tell your age by a number? Now you listen. When you go to get a pound of meat, don't they weigh it out to you on numbers, or it's already been pre-weighed? Is that right? When you go to pay your light bill, you do it by numbers. If you go to church, the only thing the preacher can talk about is how many he had in Sunday school because he's got his number board hanging up there. Is that right? Everything in science is done by numerical order, which is numbers. If you drive a car, you stick a number on the back of it. Are you listening? If you work, you get a social security card with a number on it. Is that right? If you write a check, you get a check with a computer number on it. Everything that you do is coming under a number or a numerical order and going to lead to one mark, and that's your social security number or benefit that'll be turned into the hands of one man whose name is Vicarius Filiadia, which is 666. The papacy of Rome. Somebody said, oh, it's going to be somebody outside of the papacy of Rome. It certainly will be the Antichrist. But the thing is, it will have to work through the papacy of Rome, because Rome is the great whore that sets upon many waters, that's made all of the nations drunk by telling them that they can be baptized in the title Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and go to heaven. And it is a lie. You can't do it. It is part of the system of the great whore, and you cannot do it. Jesus said to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Bible bears it out. The name is Jesus. And everyone, the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are saved. And if you don't get in the name, it don't matter if you go to church every day, every night. Pay tithes, shout, speak in tongues, give everything. You still ain't going to make it. Salvation is in the name. None other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He died for sin. We're baptized into his death, into his name, the strong tower, for the remission of sin, beginning at Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth. How do you understand what I'm saying? Going back to the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. All right, you can stand with me. But folks, you can be sure of one thing. It ain't going to be but a few days hence. And you'd have wished that you not only had to stay all night and listen to the preacher many, many multiplied times, but you'd have wished that you'd stayed all night on those prayer bones many times when you were sleeping. You'd have wished that you'd have given hundreds and thousands of those dollars to God to save those people that's dying and going to hell in the heathen countries, and to feed the little pot-bellied babies that's starving. And that he that giveth to the poor lendeth to God. And that day when you stand before him and he said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you never visited me. And they're going to say, Lord, when saw we you like this? I was a good church member. I was a good goer. You know I listened good. You know I was as religious as I could be. Then you begin to think back. I spent everything I had on a rocking chair, a telephone. Money to feed my belly. The Bible said all their labor's for their belly because their belly craves it of them. They made their belly their God. That's what Jesus said. Said they've made their belly their God. That's the Bible. And they realize that they spent it all on groceries for their belly. All on sofas and chairs and tables and whatnots and this and that. And the young'uns never giving nothing to God every now and then. Maybe taking 10 or 15 cents or squeezing out a dollar. If they ever got up to $5, they set a record. Not giving nothing to God. Not giving nothing to God. Squeezing the pennies out to God. And all the rest of it going down the drain. But I'll tell you something, folks. You go on and take your mountain vacations. Do the things that you want to do. Go to the lakes and the streams and whatnot. Spend your money. Throw it away. Live it up. Give it to everybody but God. And then at the end of the way, you're going to find out what I meant. Take your trips to mama, go home to visit, live up your parties, buy your new cars, get whatever you want. Let the brethren take the load. Let them that take the cross have to squirm underneath the load. Make excuses why you can't do it. Just go ahead. Like the song I wrote, excuses, excuses, oh, what will you do? One said, I married a wife. God said, that ain't good enough. Another said, well, I got to bury my dead father. He said, that ain't good enough either. Somebody said, well, I bought some land. He said, that ain't good enough either. Got to pay on it, you know. Somebody said, well, I bought some oxen. I need a chance to try them out. He said, that ain't good enough either. Somebody said, well, I had to go see my mother and daddy. That ain't good enough either. I just had to get a little rest and take a vacation. That ain't good enough either. Well, I had to hold back a little bit because I didn't know where I could make it till the end of the month or not. That ain't good enough either. Somebody said, well, I had to pay my bills. That ain't good enough either. No excuse. There ain't none. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'll take care of the rest, he said. All these other things will be added. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to sing a little chorus with you. Folks, your excuses ain't good enough. It's late in the day. I'm going to say this not to hurt you because I love you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. Some of you running in a hurry, folks. Now listen. I said some of you, and I'm saying this to you that's in the church and them that these tapes will go to all over the nation. Some of you running into a hurry, folks. You know them folks that's a run in a hurry, folks. Get it the last minute. Live it up in the world. Do everything in the world. Do everything they want to do. Go everywhere they want to go. Flip their temper. Do everything. And then when they go to die, say, oh God, have mercy on me. I love you, Jesus. Some of you last minute run in, hurry people, you know, that don't plan to live for God and don't care enough about Him to love Him, make a sacrifice or do nothing for Him. But you're just trying to smart it out and wait till the last minute and run in. It's time you start to run in. I don't know where it'll do you any good or not, but it's time you started to run him. You better just hope he'll have mercy on you. I hope he does. But you that wanted to live out in the slop pens and the hog pens with the hogs, ramble with the devils, and the Bible said you can't eat at the devil's table and eat at God's. He said you can't eat at the table of devils, that's scripture, and eat at my table. He said you go back to your wallowing in the mire. He said the dog goes back to the vomit. Jesus said a generation of vipers. Now listen, running in a hurry, the end of the world's coming, we better get in now. We done dabbled around everywhere, better hurry in now. You better start running. We better start giving something to God now. You better start hurrying. Oh, I'm going to share with God. Do you think God wants that kind of doings? Do you think God's going to have you in that kind of frame of mind? Don't you know that God's got more sense than that? We think of God like a moron sometimes. Instead of thinking of God as what He is, some people act like God's some kind of moron. Don't you know that a woman that's thrown her life away and been in every slop hole in the world and done every low down thing she could except be decent and upright to her husband? And then when she gets old and flabby and fat and gone and ain't no good and wrinkled, withered up, ready to die. And she runs and says, honey, I've changed my mind. I want to be your wife. Don't you know that man's got more sense to understand what she, where he can understand what she's doing? So a lot of women have done that. If he got any sense, he wouldn't have her. God don't want him to have her. But I want to tell you something, folks. There is a little time left. There is a little time left. And some of you people that's listening to my voice, you need to get your crooked, wicked, ungodly lives straightened out and stop your hypocritical way of parading around and being religious and get straight with God. Stop your gossiping, lying tongue, backbiting, troublemaking ways. Line up with God and get right with God and be sorry of your sins. And in 4 or 5 days, in case you change your mind and decide that Brother Pike's made a mistake, maybe the mark of the beast not coming as soon as you thought, don't go running back out into the world or let your temple loose because you feel you got a few more days. You've got a little more time and you're getting in at the last hour, but God's still merciful. You're getting in at the last hour. It's almost like a deathbed repentance. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can believe this if you want to. It's up to you. But I don't have any confidence in a deathbed repentance. When a man is dying and he's lived dirty and ungodly all of his life and lays on that pillar and says, God, save me. I don't more believe that God will save him than nothing. That man isn't calling on God because he loves God. He's calling on God because he don't want to go to hell. It's just like a man takes a gun and kills 50 people and he's just as happy as he can be. And the day that the judge condemns him and he gets up to the electric chair and they start to throw the switch, he said, I've changed my mind. I've repented. I'm sorry. God's no fool, folks. The Bible said for you to repent of your sins while you've got time to repent. And it said for you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ while you got time. You're not too sick, too old, too feeble, or nothing else to get down in the water and be baptized. I know where they've had the time to cheer. And 2 or 3 men would have to let the cheer down and baptize them. I know some 80 and 90 years old crawl out to the water and be baptized. I'm going to say this again. If our God who sits on the throne took the time to leave heaven, get in a body called the Son of God, walk down to a muddy river called Jordan and dip himself in it to leave your plan of salvation, you better believe the doctors and the lawyers and the bankers and the presidents and Kissinger and all the rest isn't going to get by when they stand up before him. When he stands on the sets on the throne as the great judge and he looks out there at them and he says, you thought you was too important to do it when you're not even fit to stand in my presence. Here I am, God of eternity, and come down there and got in the muddy river. You think he's going to listen to their excuses? You women that run around half naked, just listen to my voice on the tape or wherever, that run around half naked, when you stand before the judge of all the earth, and you realize that the Bible said in the book of Revelation that his garment was all the way down to his feet. And the God of heaven and earth sits there and judges you. You can be sure that your little miniskirt deals is going to cause you to roll and cry and scream in the burning flames of hell. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care what church you belong to. Brother, you and your preacher together will sink in the flames of hell. That's God's word. It's not altered for anyone. You that gossip and backbite, cheat and swindle and won't pay your bills, the wicked borrow and won't pay back. You borrow from your brother, you borrow from your neighbor, you borrow from everybody you can. You buy everything you can on credit and then won't go pay them. The Bible said the wicked borrow and won't pay back, steal and take from them. That's wicked. That's wicked, my brother. How many understand what I'm saying? That's wicked. A wicked man does that. All right, I want to sing a little chorus together. I'm telling you what will take you to heaven, folks. Somebody said, well, I've been baptized. That ain't good enough. The 19th chapter of Acts, they'd been baptized too. In the same river Jesus had been baptized in by the same man that had baptized Jesus, which was John the Baptist. Paul said, that ain't good enough. Said, you'll have to be rebaptized in Jesus' name. Our apostle Paul. It's not being in the water, it's being in the name. Salvation is in the name, not the water. It's the water just represents the barrel. You understand? Baptism for remission of sin. Somebody said, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Some of you ain't been baptized in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't really, truly a man of God that was clean, straight, and upright that baptized you, you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. You love the Lord? You say, Brother Pike, you're scolding us. I'm not scolding you. I'm telling you, folks, this is a serious time. I'm trying to shake you up a little bit tonight to let you know that something's happening. Something's taking place. The Lord Jesus is coming. It's like the vision I had when I saw the wilderness and I saw my David back here. And I saw him, he wouldn't listen at me, and he run ahead of me. And he got down to the wilderness and started in. And the only way I could stop him was to scream at him. That's what I've had to do, is scream at him. Scream at him. He almost went in. And I got him stopped just before he went into the wilderness. And then when I got through it on the other side, there I stood on the brinks of eternity. And looked off, and it was a bottomless pit. It was eternity, no foundation, no nothing. And there I was standing on the brinks of it and had my people slightly behind me. And I turned to them and I said, folks, do you see why I didn't want you to get ahead of me? Why I wanted you to listen to me? Let's bow our heads for a minute and pray for this little lady tonight. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, I'm not worthy to dust the shoes of these brethren, Jesus. But Lord, I speak in the name of the Lord. Heal this body, Jesus. Break the yoke from off of this little lady. I feel her faith and I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead. Heal her and fill her with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Tonight, I want you to take a minute, folks. We're going to close. But I want you to come up here to the altar while we sing a little chorus. I'd like for all of you tonight to come up here. I love you. You're my people tonight. You've stood by me, and I'm trying to stand by you. I'm trying not to deceive you. Paul said, use great plainness of speech. He said, we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I sound rude to you tonight in my speech. But he said, we are rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I know what we're doing tonight. And I ask you tonight, together, around the altar. And I want you to consider tonight. Don't reason tonight. Don't lean to your understanding. Don't you dare do it. I've done seen some of you here that you are confident that you've got God and you're on your way to heaven. And folks, I tell you in the name of the Lord, you're not. You've tried to out-reason me and out-reason the preaching and reason things the way that you feel like it ought to do and ought to be. And accounted to yourselves as being ready to go. And you're not ready. Some of you ladies are in the same condition. I tell you in Jesus' name, you're not ready. We're going to be here long enough to see them set up the Antichrist system. We're going to be here. Watch and see. And we're going to see it set up. And they're not going to press us. They're not going to put the law on us. It's going to be an opportunity. But when all of them that will willingly go, goes right on and takes the mark, and those whose eyes are open begins to realize something is wrong and won't do it, then the boycott's coming. That Brother Branham spoke of. The boycott. I don't know how Brother Branham meant it. I don't know how his followers mean it. But this is the way that I understand it. There'll be a boycott that will fall, and everything will emerge into a oneness. They'll boycott everything, including the banks, the stores, people, businesses, industries. Everything will be under that one boycott. And they'll insert that number. And when they do this, they won't until they do this. But when they do this, then they'll have control of everything and everybody. Then the minority, and it will be the minority, because the Bible said that all the world wondered after the beast. All of them wondered after it. It's going to be so beautiful, so fascinating, so satisfying to the flesh. It'll be so much what humanity has looked for in the way of government. He'll be a superman that'll have the answer to all political problems. You know how he's going to do it? By listening to the very message that you've listened to, and the preaching of the gospel down through the years, and all these other things. Satan is going to sum it all up. He can't do it until the mysteries are finished. He can't do it. He's waiting until the mysteries are finished and the last sermon's preached. As long as it's in their heart, he can't get it. But when God speaks it, then the Bible said that which is revealed belongeth unto man. The secret things belong unto God. When it is revealed, Satan will at last know the last mysteries is finished, and he'll have the last answers to all that he can ever get. He knows he'll never get any more. Then he's going to sum it all up, personify himself in a human being, and start his operation and antitype what God's going to do. But he'll boycott everything. And at the time when the minority is left after the majority has taken it, few there be that find it. Broad is the way to destruction, many shall enter therein. Narrow is the way to life, few there be that find it. When the few start rebelling, then the law is going to enforce it. And immediately when he starts enforcing it, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. The mysteries will be finished. Everything will be ready. And then we go up. And when we go up, the Bible said Lucifer, the red dragon, is cast out. He's no more in the spirit. Then he goes into a man and he personifies himself in a man. Then it becomes Antichrist's kingdom. As long as it's working like it is, it's not Antichrist's kingdom as far as Antichrist and as far as God cutting the people off. It hadn't come that far. But it'll just be Antichrist's system going on. It'll be working toward Antichrist. All of it's all down through life has been Antichrist's system. But when it comes to the point to where the pressures are to come, then they'll start killing those that will not receive the mark. Now, if you don't believe this, read the Bible. When they start doing that, when it comes to the pressure and start putting the pressure after the boycott, then we'll go up. Lucifer will go out and he'll personify himself in a man. And from that time on, every man that receives the mark or comes under the regime of the beast will have no more chance of eternal life. They will be tormented night and day. They won't have any rest. They'll be cast into a burning lake of fire where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. The Bible said eternal flames. You understand what I'm saying, brethren? It's close at hand. It's close at hand. A covenant is being made with Israel. The Bible said Antichrist broke the covenant in the midst of the week. A covenant is being made with Israel. Everything is shaping up. There's a lot of things I could say tonight, but I won't. I'm going to say this and close. The thing that Kissinger has done has brought on the end of the world. Because that thing will be broken. Now you watch and see. And when it's broken, Israel will never again have any confidence in America or any other nation under the sun. She'll know just like the church knows that she stands alone. And she'll have her bones perfected and everything else. And she'll be the chariot of Jehu that cast down Jezebel in their zeal. And the bombs that will fall on the great whore. Her desolation coming in 1 hour. She's the only nation bold enough to throw a bomb right in the lap of America right now. The rest of them figures they'll take America. That they'll move and take America. Israel don't want America. She's satisfied with the Holy Land. She'd rather blow it off the map and stop her troubles. But there's one thing about it, folks. We're down at the end of the trail. We're right down at the end of the trail. And things is taking place. So when they do this, when the pact is broken, she'll be bitter. And she'll break the United Nations pact. And when they do, all nations of the world to keep their little peace treaty will gather in against Israel. He said, I'll gather all nations in against Israel. And when I do, the Lord himself shall come into Israel, fight for Israel. And Revelation 19 shows us that we'll be coming back to stand with them and dip our sword in the blood. The battle of Armageddon will take place and the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. Brother, it's coming. It's coming. All right. Let's sing that little chorus, Just Another Touch, Lord, from You. For over 20 years, Betty and I have tried to take the gospel for over 20 years. First trip we ever took was 1,500 miles away from our families. That was a long ways back then. Didn't have things like it is now. Some of the roads we went on the mountain would be caving out, and the road caving out as we went around the narrow edge through some of the mountains that you vacation in right now. For over 20 years, and we're still trying to preach the gospel, but it's coming down to a quick work cut short in righteousness. Death has been conquered, folks, as sure as you live. And the message is in the land for the translation of the church. All right, let's sing it together. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from You to help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from You. Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, for something happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. I want you to slip your hands up with me and close your eyes. I want you to make a rededication tonight, folks. Now, maybe you've been serving God with all of your heart, and I trust that you have. The Bible said, love Him with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your mind. And I want you tonight, even if you have, I want you to rededicate your heart. See, you can't believe with your head. Jesus said, as a man believeth in his heart, as he believeth in his heart. You got to get the thing in your heart. You got to be convinced in your heart. You got to believe to a translation. Believe to a change. To escape the tribulation. There'll be a lot of good people that won't make the rapture. A lot of religious people. A lot of church people that never come into the message. Never come into the faith. never come to Jesus' name, they won't make the rapture. They'll go through this awful Antichrist thing. And they'll be killed. Everyone that won't take the mark will be killed, be destroyed. People that have died, like Mr. Gray, my daddy, my brother, some of your loved ones, you don't know how fortunate they are that they died and went on by means of the grave so that they don't have to pass through the awful tribulation. But you that are here have a chance to escape it. But you're going to have to do it, like I'm telling you. There's only one way. There's not a whole bunch of ways. Jesus, the Word, said, I am the way, faith in me, through my name. I want you to search your hearts. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, be in the faith? Faith cometh by hearing of the Word, not by ideology, not by what somebody told you, not by what you've been taught, not by what you believe. In the last days, it said, subducing spirits, doctrines of devils would lead them away from the faith. What faith? Faith by the hearing of the Word. There is no salvation faith except faith in the Word. And James said, this faith is shown by your works. What you do proves how much you believe it. It's the seal of your faith to do what you believe. Whatever the Word says, be baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with the Spirit, live holy. Faith in that Word will cause you to do it, and that will save you. Listen real close while you got your hands up meditating. Listen, folks. That body of yours, listen. Noah's faith is what saved him, isn't that right? The Bible said he was saved by faith. But when you check it out, you know what that faith did? That faith caused him to prepare an ark to the saving of his soul and household. It was his works that built that ark that saved him from that flood. It was his faith that caused him to do it. You understand what I'm saying? That little body of yours being prepared in the likeness of Jesus Christ is the ark that's carrying the Christ, the hope of glory, on the inside of you. Prepare it in holiness. Prepare it in his name. Prepare it in his likeness. Prepare it to his image and satisfaction that it'll go through the flood of his wrath and take you over the great tribulation period of that great flood to set you down on the new earth of the millennium. Because we're getting close to it. The membership of that body is the great ark that hung at Calvary. The door was made in the side when they pierced it, and the water ran out and the blood ran out. Hide us in the cleft of the rock like he did Moses. Fully into the name of Jesus. It's the ark of God. It's the waterway through baptism, through faith. Get into it. It'll take you over. Father of heaven, I'm grateful tonight for this opportunity. I realize tonight, God, that I'm not worthy to stand here. And Lord, as I look back through the years, over 20 years, you've kept me clean and holy and right and pure. And Father, I haven't been able to do one bit of it. And tonight, God, you could reject me and throw me down. But you've kept me and you've kept my wife and you've kept my little children, my sons and my daughters, and Hopus. And the people that we've talked to and prayed for, you've kept them. Kept our loved ones. And Jesus, I owe it all to you. I've done nothing, Lord, to deserve it. I've not merited anything. It's all by the love of God and the grace of Calvary. But Father, because you did it for me, though I know that nothing I can do can ever repay you, yet I want to do everything I can to show you my appreciation. I want to please you in every way to show you how thankful I am, Father, for what you did when you spilt your blood for me. Oh God, you said, let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity, that their iniquities have separated between them and their God. Move my iniquity by Calvary tonight. Heal the people, Jesus. I beg you to do it tonight. Save the people, Jesus. Forgive them their sins tonight. Lord, break the yokes off of them tonight. Help them have a new start, a new vision, a new covenant. Lord, a renewal in the Spirit of God, a new determination. Father, some of them have drugged back. Some of them not come forth. Some of them not done like they ought to. But God, you know that they care for you or they wouldn't be around this place. God, you know that they've got a concern or they wouldn't be here. Lord, forgive them of their shortcomings. Don't be hard on them, Jesus. Lord, they tried and they stumbled and they faltered and they failed. And Lord, like you showed me the tree today, as I sat today and looked at the big oaks, Lord, swaying in the breeze, and I looked at some of my little trees, God, that's drying up. And Lord, you spoke to me and said, son, the big ones have got their roots way down deep. And they're not drying up because they can live on. And I heard you say to me, but take care of the little trees, son. Go to a little effort, put a little water around them. Their roots are not down deep enough yet, but they want to live. And they're trying, but they need to be watered. God, help my people tonight, that my older brethren, them that are strong, help them to water the little trees, God, till they can get their roots down deep enough to live. Heal them and save them, Jesus. Oh, God, don't let them be hard on them. Let them love them, Jesus. Let them be tender to them. Let them nurse them like a babe. And like you said to Peter, feed my lambs. Jesus, help me to feed these little tender lambs, God. Help me not to hurt them. But help me to love them and feed them, Jesus, and do all I can. I ask your protection over them. I plead the blood over them. I ask you tonight to touch my wife's mother, Father. I plead the blood over her. The protection of Jesus Christ over her. Heal her body, Jesus. Fill her with the Spirit, Jesus. Lead her in your word and keep her. I ask you to do it. And these people's mothers that are not here, my mother, and these people's mothers, Lord, that are not here, our loved ones, our brothers, our sisters, Jesus, people around the world, I pray for all humanity tonight, the rich and poor alike, the crippled, the needy, the hungry. Have mercy, save the human beings that are in the earth today, Father. Save humanity. Be merciful to them. Be a guide and help them, feed them. I ask you to do it tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's sing one more chorus together before we dismiss. Let's sing the little chorus, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fast, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Sing it with me, will you? Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there.